Sláinte, y'all. It's me, Ashley.
Hello, nostalgic friends. It's Aaron.
And it's me, Garrett, looking for my pot of gold. And you're listening to Nostalgic.
So if you haven't figured it out, we are going to be talking about all things Irish today.
That was probably the worst Irish accent I could throw out there.
I thought it was pretty good. Very Lucky Charms.
I think that's what my motivation, where I was like, oh, I need to find my four-leaf clovers and
red and balloons. Rainbows and... So it's March and we celebrate St. Patty's Day. Yay!
Hey,
yo!
This is a little like way, way back on our nostalgia, but it's because it is nostalgic for me. As a kid, St. Patrick's Day was a big deal. I mean, it wasn't an adult too, but for different reasons.
Beer.
But as a kid, it was like you definitely wore your green. You got pinched if you didn't, and people were always looking for it. You know, did you wear your green? And I had green on my tattoo. So like when I was older, I'd be like, nah, you can't pinch me. I guess the big thing is it's nostalgic, but where does it all come from? Why do we celebrate St. Patrick's Day? Why is the beer green? What's up with the shamrock? That's what we're going to cover today.
I always wondered as a kid where this stuff came from. Why the pot of gold?
Yeah, especially when we're older, it's like, we just do it. We drink and we don't even, bet people don't even know why.
Me.
We're not going to get into the leprechaun stuff, but I would look it up. They were actually like fairies and there were no female leprechauns. So how did they make new leprechauns?
Reproduce.
And it's a whole thing. Yeah, but.
They were gay.
I definitely recommend. Well, I wrote down in my notes before I cut it, maybe they were like the rock people from Marvel where they sit together and they hold hands. Like, I found a lovely rock man named Carl. And they had a baby together. Anyway, I did write that in my notes, but I cut the whole thing. So, St. Patrick's Day is actually the death of St. Patrick. So, you're not even celebrating, I don't know, I guess his birth. And so, on that, St. Patrick's name wasn't even really St. Patrick. His real name was, I am not going to say this in some kind of Gaelic, but Maewyn Suckett.
Maewyn Suckett?
Suckett. I should have looked up how to say it.
I feel like that's some slang somewhere. It's like, hey, Maewyn, suck it.
With some kind of Gaelic, I'm sure it doesn't even sound like it looks if you've ever heard Gaelic before. But he later took the name Patricius, and that ended up being St. Patrick. Mm. And he's informally considered the patron saint of Ireland because he baptized thousands of Irish people and aided in the formation of hundreds of churches. But he wasn't even a real Catholic saint. Irish people were like, no, he saved so many people. But the Catholic Church is like, yeah, you're not recognized by God, though. And so... So the 17th of March every year is the anniversary of the death of the patron saint of Ireland. And we just celebrate all things Irish, parades, music, drinking, dancing. I guess that's the biggest part of it is, did you know you were celebrating St. Patrick's death?
No, I would have assumed that we were celebrating either his life. I mean, I guess in a way we're celebrating his legacy because he saved so many people. But I would have thought that if that were true, that they would have moved the date to his birth. Do we know when he was born?
I don't think there was a lot of his early life when I was reading. And also, the thing was that St. Patrick's Day didn't really start in Ireland. It's really big in Ireland. It started when Irish immigrants celebrated their home from other countries. So mainly Irish immigrants coming to America, they had a day that they were like, we're going to wear all of our green and we're going to celebrate our homeland. And then wherever they immigrated to, they were having St. Patrick's Day. But because America had the most immigrants, we had the biggest parties, I guess. And then Ireland kind of caught on later.
When you said coming to America, I automatically imagined a Irish coming to America movie with all Irish players and barber like, oh, what kind of haircut can I do for you?
The royal penis is clean.
Feck you. Feck you. What's next? If that is not a thing, someone make it. And if it is, will you send us the link? We would love
to
watch
it. Yes, please.
Okay. Anybody have anything to add?
I was going to ask you, out of all the saints, why is this one celebrated more? But you explained it when you talked about the Irish immigrants.
Oh, right. They started it. And then I think because they're such, I don't want to say this, patriotic drinkers, that we hopped on board pretty quickly. What are they doing? Yeah, we're into that. And again, we don't even know why we're celebrating half the time. I bet you could ask people. So the second thing is the difference in a shamrock and a four-leaf clover. Do you know the difference?
No, the shamrock only has three.
smarty pants.
Kentucky oh, education.
Dark web. Kentucky,
that's exactly it. Shamrocks are the clovers all over Ireland. They're associated with spring and rebirth, and they are the national flower of Ireland because they're everywhere. So,
they're considered a flower?
That's what it said. I don't know if they don't bloom, though, do they?
I don't know now. Now
but
I'm
they
just,
also
like, I'm
said there
questioning
are
everything.
So many kinds. It's not even just one. I started reading down a list, and I'm like, I am not even putting that in there. But the four-leaf clover is 1 in 10,000. So that's why
wow.
It's lucky to find them. I feel like shamrock is just more fun to say. So people started calling the four-leaf clover the shamrock, but yeah. And they're really popular because Ireland is such a Catholic community. St. Patrick himself used the three-leaf clover as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then even the four-leaf clover, he turned into the cross. So it was just like, I'm using these clovers, damn it. Yeah. And then in the Middle Ages, it was believed that carrying a four-leaf clover would enable you to see fairies, recognize witches and evil spirits, and be protected from the evil eye. And dreaming of four-leaf clovers is supposed to bring you luck.
I have dreamt of green beer before, though. I will say that.
I don't think that's as lucky. So it did say also that a four-leaf clover can produce more leaves than just four. Guinness World Book of Records, the most leaves on a clover is 56. Discovered in Japan in 2009.
It wasn't even in Ireland.
Luckiest clover ever. Yeah, we should call that luck of the Japanese. Aaron mentioned green beer. That's my next move. I'm just rolling through. So let's green beer. There's a couple things about that. Is it Irish or is it not Irish?
I feel like America just found any reason to.
Right. I'm kind of with Aaron on this. Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah. So it started in 1914 here. It was in the Bronx by a doctor. He was a coroner's physician and an eye surgeon. Where they think that they might have gotten the idea is there was a drink in Ireland where they would put clovers in their beer and make it kind of green. It's called Drowning the Shamrock, in which drinkers add green shamrocks to their beverages on St. Patty's Day. So that was, I guess, like where it may have started. And then over here, they're like, oh, but they had green beer. Maybe they just had shamrocks floating around. I don't know.
Maybe.
I would drown the shamrock. I would drink that.
Yeah. I would totally drink that. Can you eat shamrocks?
I'm sure you can,
especially if they're soaked in beer. It's like the fruit and jungle juice, you know, in the hooch.
It says, after drowning the shamrock, you throw the soggy plant over your left shoulder for luck.
It's not like the worm and the tequila.
Don't drink it or eat it. So the first mention of green beer can be dated back to 1910 in Spokane. And it was something...
Spokane, Washington?
Mm-hmm. It said at least one Spokane, Washington bar had green beer on the menu to commence St. Patty's Day. And then 1914... Dr. Thomas Hayes Curtin made green beer for St. Patrick's Day, which was considered to be its main debut, according to the Smithsonian, which I thought it was 80s. So I was like, oh, we'll do it for nostalgic because it's 80s, but it's way older than I thought. But it actually says that Ireland picked it up around the 80s. They started making green beer in Ireland. Now, I worked in an Irish pub for 8 years, and real Irish people think that Guinness is, so they say Irish beer is black, not green, and we did not dare during St. Patrick's Day sell green beer. Like, it was, like, insulting. So what we did was we sold green Bud Light cans, and everybody ordered green Bud Light cans. We sold more Bud Light that day than anything else because people wanted to carry the green Bud Light cans. But it was, like, a smack in the face if they were like, can we get a green beer? We're like, no. Drink a Guinness.
Did you find out way back in the day what was used to color the beer to green? Would they have food coloring back then? I wouldn't think so, but I mean, maybe.
Oh, one of the first things they used that I read was some kind of cleaner that they used in the laundry or something. I didn't do too much on it. The one thing that I can say is they don't use green. They actually use blue because the tint of the beer is already yellow. Yeah.
Windex in here.
Right. There was some that are trying to make healthier, more natural green beer. I think Dogfish had tried to come up with one, and I was reading a couple like smaller brews that are trying to do a more natural one, but I don't know that they've figured that one out yet. So the next thing I want to discuss is the Irish goodbye. The old Irish goodbye.
And if anybody can discuss this, it's you, because
100%.
Master. And that really is the only reason that I brought it up, because I have mastered the Irish goodbye. I did not know what it was called until later, but what an Irish goodbye is, and I'm going to give you a history on it, but what it's known as if you say it to someone is that you're having a night out with friends or it's a party and someone just disappears without saying goodbye to anyone. And you're like, hey, where'd so-and-so go? And they are home in their bed. usually, if it were me. You wake up to all the texts, like, where'd you go? And you were like, nope, I bounced. So if you have that friend, it's the Irish goodbye. Now, after you hear this, you may not call it the Irish goodbye anymore, though, because they do not claim the Irish goodbye.
Oh.
Yeah. So The Irish goodbye was actually given kind of as an insult. So a lot of the countries in Europe have it for other countries. The English and the French maybe say it's the Irish goodbye, and the English call it the French leave, because it's considered rude to just leave. So,
right.
And Irish really pride themselves on being friendly and welcoming, and they're like, no, we would never do that. But what I did read was that if they did associate with it, the reason would be because they are so friendly, they know that if they have to go around and say goodbye to everyone, that they'll never get out of there. So it's like, if you have to go around to 5 Irish people and tell them goodbye, you're going to be there for another 2 hours. So they are like, we cannot do it. So they said if it is associated with them, that's why. They're like, we're too friendly. So on it, though, most of it was, again, them not wanting being associated, them giving it to other people. The French, they called it to leave as the English. Obviously, it probably sounds better in French. That's the translation. And then one of the ladies, an enraged woman, coined the term after her second Irish boyfriend in a row disappeared without a trace. So she was calling it the Irish goodbye. It says, is the Irish goodbye the original ghosting? But it's far more likely that it was associated outside. And most Irish people do not claim it. They're like, I just thought that was hilarious that they're all like, you take it. All right. I'm going to get into, which I thought was really fun. I narrowed it down as much as I could. But if you get a chance, it's so fun to go look at Irish slang. I'm going to start out with slang words that you didn't know were Irish, or you may have known. It's like they found different ways instead of using cuss words. So they say feck, and they say F off a lot. And that's something that...
Like F-E-C-K?
Yeah, it's kind of like to get around the four-letter word. So they'll say feck off. But F off, you know, I don't know if you know that started in Ireland, or they use it a lot.
No.
Start there. Gander, like, take a gander. Take a gander at it. Fella, you know, like your fella. Floozy.
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 I love floozy.
Yeah. Yeah, floozy.
I feel like your mom would use floozy to be like, oh, she's a real floozy.
She says a lot is homely. Like, homely looking. Knackered. Like, just knackered.
I can and see then, that.
Yeah. I feel like we hear it a lot, but when you say it's Irish, I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then tool. Like, this feckin' tool. Okay, and then nice one. I thought that was cute.
Nice one.
Do you say nice one in America? Like, yeah, nice one.
Nice one.
Yeah. Like, sarcastically. Oh, nice one, bro.
Yeah, no, I think they mean it. I think we've taken it and made it sarcastic.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever said it and actually meant
That's funny. Encouragement is hard, but sarcasm, done.
Oh, right? Yeah.
My bread and butter.
Mm-hmm. All right, my next little list is words that mean something different in America than they do in Ireland.
So, F off, does that mean?
Yeah, it actually is a very endearing, like I said, they love, I love you. So ride does not mean to get in a car or ride a pony. It means sex. So if you
ride.
Say ride, roid, it's a sex term.
Ryan Reynolds, do you want a ride?
From an Englishman.
That's what I was getting ready.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so horrible. I can't even do like.
I can't separate them in my head. You know that. Like, mine are just like a melding pot.
Oh, God. I don't even know if I can do it in an Irish accent. Like, Ryan Reynolds, do you want to take a ride? No. I'm like, no.
Oh my God.
I'm just going to stop before I get myself.
You started out really strong, though. Oh, Ryan Reynolds, would you? Like a roid.
You hear about me and Ryan Reynolds?
I'm just gonna start a new podcast with us just doing accents of just slang.
Be like, guess what country we're talking about today? You'll never know. Man.
Ashley's Irish or Jamaican.
And Jersey. Jersey.
Oh, the one episode we did where I was doing Downtown Julie Brown. I was trying to do Old Smoker Downtown Julie Brown, and I cannot do English accent like Old Smoker voice. I cannot mix. So try to say in an old, like a truck stop waitress voice, it's Downtown Julie Brown.
It's Downtown Julie Brown. No.
It's hard. I seriously,
it is hard.
I've practiced this on my own time, and I'm still terrible.
Wait, how much? How much?
Not enough to where I'm like, this is embarrassing. Let me see. It's Downtown Julie Brown. I can't do it, I don't know. Man. How do you do an old lady English accent? Downtown Julie Brown. Sound like that guy from Family Guy.
Well, wait, how does, what's her name? Downton Abbey. I love her.
Oh, Maggie Smith. But she's so like, oh, I'm Dame Maggie Smith. She's very refined. It's not Smoker's voice. Anyway, it like bugged me since we did the episode. It's something that haunts me in my sleep. Moving on. So the example I had was, oh, Mila Kunis is an absolute roid.
That's pretty good, though. I think your accent is pretty good there.
Yeah. All right. We got it on recording, too. Yes.
St. Patrick is crying in his grave.
Oh, all the comments on the YouTube videos where you learn Irish accents were like, be Irish or shut up. Stop trying to do our accent. Like, how you get an accent? You live in Ireland. Other than that, you don't. All right. So the next one is jar. As in, I'm heading for a jar. What do you think that means?
No, I'm heading for a jar.
Like a glass of beer.
Yes, beer.
A mug, a pint.
Simply means beer. I'm going for a jar. Yeah.
Do they drink out of mason jars or?
I don't know. I mean, it's got to come from that, I guess.
Something.
It just means beer. And then dope. When we say dope here, you know, we use our slang. We're like, ah, oh, man, that's dope. But when they use it, it's like dopey, dope, like Snow White. Literal, they're like a dope. Yeah, like dope. What a dope.
I think that's how it started over here, right? Like,
yeah, I think in the beginning you would have said a dope was something bad, and then I don't know when it changed.
And then somebody took it and was like, you know what? I'm gonna take this and make it good. I am dope.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. No, I'm not dope. You're dope. I am dope. Right. What was that? 90s-ish.
Yeah.
So the explanation of a dope is a bit daft.
You're a bit daft.
So gas is another word you'll often hear Irish people refer to a person or situation as gas. The word gas is Irish slang for funny. For example, ah, stop, that's gas, not that's a gas. You know, some say like, oh, that's a gas. That's gas. Mm-hmm. Or Emma's dog is gas. He does, oh my gosh, it's in Irish. So it's like, he does be flying around the garden like he's possessed. Dang it, it went to New Zealand. I do a decent New Zealand accent. I'm just saying. So another one is shifting. This is another Irish expression for kissing. So for example,
shifting.
Sure, your one was caught shifting your man last week. So shifting is smooching, snogging in English. Not like shifty, because I feel like we do like a little shifty character.
Yeah.
Something good. Oh, so this one was the one that I was thinking of earlier that is more of an endearment where we say like, oh, that was savage. What would you say when you say someone's savage?
They're kind of a bitch.
They're a savage. Yeah, like they don't give a feck. They don't hold back. Well, here, savage is something that is excellent as well as being severe. The example it uses, went out with the mates for a few pints last night. It was absolutely savage. So like it was awesome.
That sounds like maybe they took an old school word and made it newer. Not recently, but maybe in the 80s, 90s or whatever.
Most of these are updated slang. It's saying before you go to Ireland, these are words that you want to use and they will be updated.
See.
Yoke. This one was really funny to me because it says it can describe something or anything, which means if you forgot the name, you know, you're like, oh, hand me that thingy over there. It's almost like thing. So you could refer to someone that's annoying you as a yoke, that yoke over there. Or you could say, here, pass me that yoke there on the counter. It's just a filler word. And so when I was reading about that, I thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
And I have two more. So jacks is one, like I'm going to the jacks, and that is the toilet.
The jacks.
So if you hear someone say, I'm going to the jacks.
Is it like both men and women use it?
I think it's both. It just said somebody will ask you, where are the jacks?
Yeah, the shitter.
Where's your toilets? And then the last one, which I also thought was really fun, is errands, like going to the grocery store or going to get the mail, are called messages. And so it's like, oh, I'll see you in 20. Need to go collect me messages. And I just thought that was cute. So I'm sure there's like the mail.
Checking the mail.
I could have done more research, but you know, we can't deep dive into all of these.
Okay. Sure we can.
Any of those stand out? You're going to start using it? Shifting?
Yoke.
The yoke. The stupid yoke. So words that we should be using or phrases. So the first one is called up to 90, and it means I've been running around like crazy. Oh, I've been up to 90 since 7 this morning. You often hear this used as a response, like, how was your work day? And you're like, oh man, I've been up to 90.
Like miles an hour? Or
yeah. So it says there's another potential use for this Irish phrase, and that's when describing someone that's bull thick, aka angry. For example, she's been up to 90 since she came home. Yeah.
Okay.
Savage. Brutal.
Yeah.
Like, I will totally use that one.
You are just up to 90 today. What is going on with this? Out of my face. Out of my face.
See, I always say full throttle, like been full throttle all day.
Right. The next one is called stall the ball. This is an Irish phrase that's used to ask someone to wait for you or stop what you're saying. For example, whoa, 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 stall the ball, chief. I'll be there in 20. Or stall the ball a minute. So in sports, I'm going to talk sports right now. You will be very proud. I watched the Super Bowl this year. And at the end, the very last play, he did not score and he was stalling the ball so he could run the clock out.
Mm.
Boom. So they stalled the ball.
Stall the ball. Ball to the wall.
Hold it.
Ball stalled to the wall.
You're losing it. You're losing the meaning here. All right. The next one is leg it. Refers to moving fast. You can leg it to the shops or you can leg it around the corner to meet one of your lads. For example, shite, man, I'm running late. Hang on there for a second. I'm going to leg it over to you.
I think I've heard this, though. I think that is not super common in Australia, but it rings some bells.
See, I feel like leg it, I've heard, is walking. Like, we're going to park the car and we're going to leg it the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. I've never heard it as I'm going to rush over. Because usually it's just like, we're going to walk. We're going to hike. We're going to leg it.
We're going to hump it.
How to hump it?
Yeah, you never heard
what
that
kind
before?
What kind of legging are you doing, sir?
Hump the leg it.
He'll stop when he's finished. All right, I got two more. And then we're going to play a little game. So the next one is your man. I don't know why I said that all country. Your man? Yeah. That's how it goes.
Wait,
yeah.
Your man? That was...
Your man?
I don't know what that was.
Just going to say it angrier. Is used to describe a man. You'll often hear this used when someone's describing someone that they don't like. You know how we say, like, your boy? Like, your boy over there is doing some shady shit. Your man was caught last week stealing from the something. I can't read that.
Yeah, that one's actually been used over here for a long time. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's your man.
Yeah. But I feel that's like, they, yeah. And the last one is, and I love this one, and we should use it. This is my favorite. That's why I kept it for last. It's G-bag, very similar to a D-bag, is a not-so-nice person. And G is slang for female genitals in Ireland. So you're saying a bag of ladies' genitals.
Ew. Like you're carrying them around?
Whatever, G-bag.
It's just like, what are you carrying around with you? Your uterus and your lady bits.
Yeah, bag of genitals.
No, I don't want to carry around a bag of genitals.
Come on, G-bag. We're going to use it as a term. We're going to use it as a term of endearment for Garrett.
Oh, stop trying to make G-bag happen, Ashley.
Oh, my little G-bag. I love you. So that's when we got to bring it. D-bag and douche is a thing that cleans the vagina. So basically you're saying the same thing if you say D-bag or douchebag.
No.
You are. They all have to do with vaginas.
No, they're not.
Okay. Any thoughts on slang?
No to the G-bag.
I like it and I'm using it. Let's take a vote. Put it on social media. D-bag, yes or no? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Aaron, it's a go, right?
Oh, yeah. Thumbs up this way for sure.
And I feel like if you said it here, people would be like, don't you mean D-bag? And you're like, actually, no.
Right. Or you would think that, you yoke.
You yoke.
All right. So my next fun little conquest is I'm going to name some actors, and I want to know if you think they're Irish, British, or American.
American.
Are you ready? Americans. So the first one.
Ready.
Is Liam Neeson.
Ooh. British. I think he's Irish.
Final answers?
Yes.
Ding, ding. Irish. Irish. It was questionable. I feel like his accent, it's very slight, but you kind of catch it. But I don't know if I've ever heard an interview with him. Okay, the other one, I might have to explain who it is, but you're going to know her once I do. So her name is Ruth Negga. She plays Raina in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the flower dress girl, and she's got curly hair. Do you know him? Yeah. Big eyes? Yeah. So. Yeah. Irish, British, American.
Oh, I can't answer the question because I just saw it. I would have got it wrong.
I would say she is British.
She is also Irish.
I would have said British also. So
I just feel like her voice is so... If I didn't know, I would have guessed American. Her accent is on point in the shows. I would never have caught any of an accent.
No.
Okay, another one is Andrew Lincoln. He plays the lead in The Walking Dead, the main dude.
I think he is British.
British.
Yes. Good job. He is British. Nice one, guys. Nice one. All right. Michael Fassbender. He played in The Light Between Oceans, 300, Inglourious Basterds, Shame,
Magneto.
Oh, yeah. Magneto. Mm-hmm.
Irish.
I'm going to say Irish, too.
Okay. Good job. Two in a row. We are on it. We know our people. Did you guess? Would you know that?
No. Okay. That was 100%
guess. I knew Andrew Lincoln was British, but...
Yeah. I like him from Love, actually, even though he probably got the shaft on the role on that one. But anyway. All right. Hugh Laurie, who plays on the show House, and he's got real blue eyes, real pretty.
British.
American.
British.
Mm.
You guys are tight because Garrett got one too earlier. Pierce Brosnan.
British.
British.
He's Irish.
What?
Mm-hmm. Look to confirm.
You didn't look real confident.
I know. I was like, because so the terrible thing is the way that I made my notes. He is Irish. Yeah. Is anyone who is Irish, I didn't put a thing next to. So then I'm like, what if I just forgot to put the thing? All right. So Pierce Brosnan is Irish. Yokes.
Yoke.
All right. Next is Colin Farrell.
Irish.
Irish.
Yes. That was kind of an obby. How about Colin Firth? Ooh, I'd like a roid with that one.
Yes.
Colin Firth.
I don't know who that is.
Same.
You
same,
do.
I
He's,
think.
He was in a lot of rom-coms. Like, look him up. You'll know him when you see him. You know this guy.
Man, he's the first one that pops up.
Most popular of the Collins.
How dare you?
No, I still don't know that guy.
Oh, okay. Well.
Oh, yeah, I do. Okay.
Yeah. What do we think?
I can't answer. It popped up.
Dang so, it.
I'm sorry.
Garrett.
I think Irish.
He is British.
I would have guessed British, though.
Yeah, when I was actually going to describe him, I'm like, he's an all-British rom-com. Sam Neill from Jurassic Park.
American.
I know what he is, and he's not any of the three.
Irish.
No.
What are you talking about?
He's from New Zealand. Sir.
The internet does not lie.
Never. It has to be true if it's on the internet.
Yes, Sam Neill is a New Zealand actor.
Where the hell did I get Irish? I had him on the list of most famous, and that's why I actually put him, because I was shocked. But it says Sam Neill is a British and New Zealand actor. So it says he's also British. Why does it say that?
So we were watching a film where he adopts a kid and they get lost in the mountains of New Zealand. And he has an accident
in
there.
Oh, I love that. It's Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yes, it's a really good movie. And I was like, his accent's really good. And Gabriel was like, no, that's
not an accent.
That's his real voice.
I've even seen that and I wouldn't have put it together because I would have thought he was American before we knew he had an accent. Well, that was a flop. Last one, Gillian Anderson from X-Files.
Gillian Anderson. Oh, British?
She's in Sex Education. She's really good in it.
Irish.
She was born in the U.S., but she had some time in England, and that's why her accent is so good. Because I thought she was American, and then I started watching Sex Education, and I was like, oh my God, she is so British. Her accent is on point. Because one of the things I read when I was looking at this was, who do people think are British that aren't? And she was one that was on the list that everybody thought she was British, and she's actually American.
Her accent in The Crown, that role, Margaret Thatcher, she just kills it. You need to watch that show. It is very good.
Yeah, on my list for sure. And I think that's another reason, because of her playing all of these British roles, people were like, oh, she's British, but she's born in the US of A. So that is your trivia. I feel like I talked a whole lot and you guys got to learn some new words.
I did get to learn some nasty little
G-bag.
Slang.
Mm-hmm. When the 17th comes up, you should start asking people like, hey, why are we at this bar right now? And they're going to be like, St. Patrick's Day. And you're going to be like, but who is that?
If I'm at a bar, then it's going to be a crazy day. I haven't been to a bar forever.
That's Irish.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
I hope you guys have a safe one. And don't forget to go out and look for those. Oh, I almost said shamrocks. Those four-leaf clovers.
Good luck, you yokes. Well, we hope that you all are having as much fun listening as we are doing this. We would really appreciate any feedback that you have to give us. A comment, message. Make sure you share it with at least one friend. Get them going on this train. We're glad to be here. And as always, thanks for listening.
Thanks.
It's just quiet.
Irish goodbye.
The French leave.
fucking Dax. Do you like Dax?
Dax.
What?
Yeah, Dax.
Dax. Do you like Dax?
Ah, dogs. Sure. I like Dax. I like caravans more.